Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. All right, we'll start leading. We're ready to have you start leading because I am not the only leader here. I'm just basically trying to collect a team of leaders, which means you need to lead. This cannot be pinned on one person. The revolution, no event to this magnitude ever depended on a single person. There are key people. Winston Churchill was a key person in World War II. I can't say Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a key person in World War II. It's not like he was an inspiration. I can't find anything that he was doing that was actually leading. I can find, you know, Eisenhower and Patton. That there were really great leaders. Chesty Puller. I mean, there were plenty of great military leaders who inspired the troops, who inspired the Marines, who inspired the sailors. And I'm here to tell you that we cannot pull this off without you getting out there and initiating these petitions. Now, the petition, the first petition will be on the petition page this weekend. So you should be able to download it, and you should be able to, and what we're going to do is we're going to have both a PDF and a Word link. So this way, if you live in the state of Washington, you can just print it out. And if you live in any other state, you print out the PDF. If you live in any other state, you're more than welcome to take the Word document. And what I still think I have to go through and highlight red text. The red text you will need to change so that it is appropriately worded for your particular state, because I drill into the offenses and identify where you can find the references to where he actually violated the Constitution. And so you have to do the same thing. Now, there may be more. I may go through it a little bit more detail to do the specific things, like, you know, the wordage where he actually limited, he shut down religious worship in the state of Washington for a while. He had no right to do that. He had no constitutional power to do that. What they're doing is they're assuming full control when the Constitution does not allow them to do that. They do have a responsibility of protecting life and protecting property, but they do not have a responsibility or the power to be able to shut everybody down and force them onto their knees. That is tyranny. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions as to what we need to do to start really going after these guys and putting them into a position where we put them on trial for treason. And those that we find guilty for treason, we must insist on the full punishment of the law. In other words, these people need to hang. We have way too many treasonous, because they're men and women. I just don't want to see bastards. What do you say? There's these parasites. There we go. We have way too many parasites that are committing treason against the American people and against our government and against the supreme law of the land. So, plugging Ad Local, Timber Nation, Radio Dust Covers. Check these three companies out. If you need email services, ISP services, domain services, what have you, check out Ad Local. They will compete and give you the best pricing. If not, at least on the email services, there's no doubt in my mind, they will beat out anybody out there doing email services. Now, if you're looking for other things, they offer a very wide range. I'm actually going to have Ben Carr come in once we're done with the Constitution, hopefully, because he's agreed to come in so we can talk about, you know, what he's done as a patriot locally and, you know, abroad. He's helped. He got very involved in the Trump election in trying to help a person who had all the evidence to indict the Democrats and Biden, and I forget her name, but they're still fighting to actually get out there. I mean, the Sidney Powell or whatever her name is, and all these other lawyers. I forget the other guy's name that really rose to fame as a lawyer. None of them really cared. They were just trying to make a name for themselves. They're trying to become the Shapiro or the F. Lee Bailey of, you know, of this decade and century. Just like F. Lee Bailey made his name in the O.J. Simpson trial. I mean, he already had a name, but that was probably the most, you know, infamous trial out there. I mean, come on. Anywho. And Shapiro made a huge name for himself. I think he made enough money off that trial that he was able to retire. Anywho, Red Pill Expo is coming up. It'll be the first weekend. And go to redpillexpo.org or DuckDuckGo, Red Pill Expo. It'll take you to the website. You can see, as the information starts coming in, you can actually see that information, you know, who's going to be speaking, what's going to be going on, and so forth. So there we go. Patriots are being targeted, and I have it up right here, the summary of the terrorism threat to the U.S. homeland. We're going to go through this as soon as we get through what I was going to talk about, and we want to emphasize, I'm going to start plugging this on a daily basis, we need to get businesses involved, from small businesses, medium businesses, businesses that are franchised, what have you. You know, there's a really good Christian business. It's ran by a Christian family out of California. They run this little restaurant called In-N-Out Burgers. They, on the paper of their, you know, their cups and so forth, they actually have scriptures like John something. I forget what scriptures they have. But they have scriptures on their, you know, paper products and so forth. So that, you know, every product that you get has a, you know, scriptural reference. And isn't that nice? Well, here's a large company that, you know, just like Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby needs to get involved. They have a little bit deeper pockets, and they can truly help you. If there's a Hobby Lobby, if there's an In-N-Out near you, or get to the headquarters, talk to these people. If you can find out, you know, who the CEOs of these companies are, I will call them. I will call them and let them know how important it is that they support the Constitution. Let's forget about what party is wearing that brand, or what, which party and the brand that is taking that stand. What we need is we need them to support the Constitution. And if you actually have constitutional candidates, I'll say this. I've had gun, because I've actually reached out to businesses at a local level, and we've had gun shops, gun shooting ranges, and so forth, trying to get them to actually back a Constitution Party candidate at this point in time. They say they won't do it because there's no money on the return. And I keep on telling them that many of the people that they're backing are actually rhinos. They're basically the same thing as a Democrat. Why don't you support a Democrat or do nothing? Stop supporting the rhinos. Let the rhinos actually lose to the Democrat. And then we actually have a real incentive to find a real Republican constitutionalist or a Constitution Party, preferably, to actually take that place. Because at this point in time, allowing rhinos to get back into office is worse than a Democrat. And if you think differently, my comment line is 425-270-5416. And I tell you, if you really put up a good argument, we will have a conversation. I'll record it and we'll put it up on the show. Because I don't think you can refute that. The most dangerous person is a long-term rhino. They continually do damage and damage and damage. You put in a Democrat, everybody's going to be so pissed off that a Democrat won that Democrat will be a one-termer, and that is it. And that's how simple it is, because then they only do damage for 2 years. And as a matter of fact, if they realize that you're already rallying to replace that person during the election, and after the election. In other words, they've got 2 years to try to prove that they're worth, you know, prove their worth to the county. You'll probably get very similar voting and outcome as your RINO was doing. They'll vote on key things that they think you may want instead of poking you in the eye over every issue. Because if they poke you in the eye over every issue, especially in a dark red county, then their career is doomed. It should be doomed anyway. But more importantly, I believe that they do try to walk that thin line. There are plenty of Democrats out there that walk a thin line because they've got the seat in a dark red county or a red county or a, you know, more red than blue. Anywho, we need to get businesses involved. I can't emphasize this enough. Harry, I hope you're listening. And let us just move into what we wanted to talk about today. And what I wanted to talk about today is the 21st Century Bill of Rights. This is what I believe is a winning campaign for the constitutionalists that are out there running. And I'm still working on this. But bottom line, what we want to do is we want to make sure that, first off, you know, there's a call for a canonizing. Actually, I'm going to use the word definitizing the Constitution. And so the very first thing that these guys need to be a champion for in getting out there, and they actually have to say this, and they have to articulate why this is important. They need to definitize the state. The state needs to demand that the only constitution that they recognize is the organic constitution and the 27 amendments, along with how it was defined, the terms and definitions in the ratification debates. And with that, we'll be right back after these two promos. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the best way to do this is to actually help the people or the voters understand that there is this thing called definitizing. Actually, so let me regroup, because I was going to go down this path of reciprocity. And this thing called reciprocity and its understanding, constitutional understanding from state to state. And we don't want to do that. But before I get into that, let me get back to this definitizing. What we want to do is that we want to use the vetoes of the DOT. And you can hear me typing. So that's what I'm putting down, vetoes of DOT. So the way your candidates are going to come out, and actually the first thing that they're going to say is they're going to tell this little story, and they're going to provide, actually, they can play the video instead of actually instead of actually trying to articulate it. They can play the video of the presidential vetoes of the Department of Transportation. So they play that, and then everybody in the room will clearly understand that the Department of Transportation, along with many other departments, are violations of the Constitution in accordance, or at least according to James Madison and James Monroe. And so as people start getting it, wow, that's interesting. And then they can actually say the reason why the federal government has been able to assume so many powers is because the states have basically allowed the federal government to redefine the Constitution. The most important thing we can do as a state is to definitize the Constitution, being the organic, just as I was saying going into the break, the organic Constitution, not the annotated Constitution. So this is where they expose this thing called the annotated Constitution. And then they actually go into the details of, you know, what the organic Constitution consists of. It's what was ratified by the 13 states and is still written in its basic form today as written for the 13 states. And only that, as well as the 13 or the 27 amendments to the Constitution that have been ratified currently. And only those things, then they can actually go into this thing called the annotated Constitution and how the federal government has created such ambiguity to allow them to actually assume any power that they want. They feel that there is no power that they cannot take from us. And they're completely ignoring Article 5, Article 7, and Article 9 and 10 of the Constitution. This is why if all of the states definitize, then it pushes, it begins to push the federal government back into the bottle. The only process later on, and they don't have to get into this, but the process, once they start definitizing, will help introduce republic review to, you know, to basically close the deal. Now, reciprocity. Reciprocity is a constitutional standard that allows a subject, a citizen from one state, I shouldn't use the subject, people go up bonkos when they hear that, I'm not a subject, a citizen of a particular state, and when they travel to another state, the rights that they have in their state, you know, travels with them. So the question is, where is reciprocity? If you come from a state where you don't have to wear a mask, if you come from a state where you can actually dine out and you can actually, you know, engage in commerce or what have you, and you're not sick, you've taken a COVID test to prove that you're not sick. You've gone through a COVID procedure, you know, testing procedure before you've traveled, and you prove, I am not sick. I've done my due diligence. I should have the ability to check into this hotel, to be able to go to this restaurant, be able to go to the theater, and do so without having to mask up. See, reciprocity, and this is why I say anybody who has had plans to go to New York, who is now basically had to scuttle those plans, ought to sue New York for reciprocity, violating their rights of being able to travel. I mean, it's one thing what they do to their own citizens, but they can't do it to citizens coming into New York conducting business or going on pleasure. It doesn't matter. They cannot shut that state down. The Constitution does not allow them to shut that's a violation of the Commerce Clause. I'm telling you, friends, our Constitution is the best weapon we have in going after these tyrants, going from one state into another, or living in these states by using these petitions. So reciprocity is one of those things that we need to start using, and reciprocity is one of those parts of the Bill of Rights that we need to have from county to county. So this is a Bill of Rights at a state level. So the Bill of Rights for the 21st century isn't to amend the Constitution. It is to inject an actual Bill of Rights into your state constitution. And you're going to actually protect more rights. But see, here's the thing. when they created the Constitution, the anti-federalists, the number one argument I went through this several times. Their number one argument was that it needed a Bill of Rights. And they said, no, it doesn't need a Bill of Rights because it is an enumerated Constitution. If it's not listed, then they can't meddle with it. Well, okay, so now they've given themselves general powers by mandates from the federal government and even in some of the amendments that you've given them. And so you need to go through. This is why I highly recommend that when we're done with Republic Review, every state goes through a constitutional convention to rewrite the state constitution to put it back into true constitutional form, basically embracing and infusing these principles, such as giving the counties representation in both houses, securing representation so the people of a county do not have to fight between other counties where, you know, the coastal county may actually win and other counties may actually be, you know, sucking toast or what have you. Anyway, we want to make sure that you actually start bringing your constitution in your state to be more aligned with the principles of the framers. We have the ability to move into an enlightened era, and it's all about just learning. It's all about taking the necessary time to learn a little bit about the fundamentals of our founding. So the next one is incentivizing family farming and taxing non-family farming. I've already talked about this, but what has to happen is you need to start going after, you know, and actually any, because you'll find that industrial farms, large farms that are out there that are industrial, many parts of that farm is not actually being used, because they're getting subsidies from the federal government for not growing certain crops or what have you. There are plenty of farms out there. And as a matter of fact, it doesn't matter if it's a private citizen, if it is a company, and or a non-resident citizen like Bill Gates. If anybody that owns farmland and is not working that land, they should be fined that year for not creating the revenues for having farmland. And if they go and the state needs to create a law that basically says the farmland needs to be productive, and it needs to actually, because the whole point of farmland is revenue for the state, because the state makes money off of that land. And so when Bill Gates bought up a farm that was actually productive and turns it unproductive, then he needs to provide the same revenue for that, along with fines, because he is actually impacting the amount of flow of commerce and agricultural products, whether that be a beef farm, a pig farm, it doesn't matter. We have to go after them and say, look, you know, and I'm telling you what, Bill Gates thinks he bought the land and it can sit there. Now these states can actually, you know, consider that a predatory practice to actually hurt the states and their economies and come right back at them and say, look, if you're not providing, you know, X, Y, and Z that should be coming off that land, it's one thing if he converts it to try to produce something than what he's doing, because, you know, Bill Gates may actually try to convert it to produce soy. And if he produces soy in every on every plot that he has, and for him to convert, so the state needs to actually have a part of the law, they have to have come through us to convert that land. Agricultural land should, and I know we have a free market. We should have a free market. But in understanding the days today and what we've got going, and people not willing because they're such ideologues, then anybody that actually just, you know, converts, you know, a pig farm, converts a cattle farm, converts a chicken farm, or whatever the farm was, into something more for ideological purposes, such as corn for fuel. I think that that's one of the most stupidest, insidious things out there, is using corn for fuel, actually taking up land that could be possible of actually producing food for people. You want to bring down the cost of food, producing food for people and actually changing it to produce it for cars. That food, that corn is non-edible corn. So states need to start stepping in to say, you know what, we understand what you're doing. And, oh, by the way, you know, you can't do this. If you do this, if you want to convert, you're going to have to pay on an annual basis for the crop that you went away from. And in other words, because what happens is if all of a sudden there's no more pig farms and chicken farms and meat, because that's what Bill Gates wants to do, the cost of meat goes up. So he then has to subsidize everybody in the state for being able to buy their meat, because he has no right to be able to do those types of things and be hostile towards everybody else. It may be private property, but that property is actually a part of the state's economy. And the states can actually say, hey, look, you can't mess with our economy. You can't come in here and be a predator and owning that. And if you don't start doing what that farm's capable of doing and should be doing, then we will actually fine you and take it away from you. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, to be clear, this whole taking control of the land, it is very important that you delegate this power to the state. Because once it becomes constitutional, it becomes the law of the land. What happens is if the states just create these laws in basically not giving them the power to kind of control their own commerce, then they're creating ex post facto laws and bills of attainder. But if the people actually delegate the power specifically to allow the state to manage, and as a matter of fact, a part of this whole thing here or this issue for the Bill of Rights is about a food storage program, because you need to make it a state responsibility that they always have in reserves the requisite food for the state for a natural disaster and or emergency. In other words, you're no longer going to be accepting federal food, federal anything. You're going to be able to force, actually, you want the state to take care of this, not the federal government. Why? Because the federal government has already used its strategic food reserves to basically pad the rising cost of food, and they haven't replenished it. If you go through to the CCC, which is the entity that the federal government uses in managing the Strategic Food Reserve, all of it's gone. Bush was the one that actually depleted all of that between his election of 2006, 2008, and then when Obama got elected, it continued until the Arab Spring. What happened was, as we were dumping rice, corn, and those types of products into the market space from the Federal Reserve, because this reserve program or storage or silage, it was just sitting there. And so as they dumped that in, what happens when you have an abundance of these types of products, or the market doesn't see a shortage, everybody's orders, the price stays the same. All of a sudden, when everybody realized, but by the manipulation of production and actually what we call, again, where the federal government subsidizes these types of crops and so forth, now there's a shortage of it. Well, of course, it drove the Arab Spring, because anybody does the research, go to Seeking Alpha. There was a great article about this, of how the Federal Reserve was the cause of, or actually it delayed this whole reaction by the Islamic states. Why? Because those people were getting money from the government, and all of a sudden the government did not adjust because they didn't see it coming. And so these governments were overthrown by these people to say, you've got to do more, you got to do better. You know, my kids are starving. I have to choose who can eat and who can't eat because the cost of food has risen so much. When you're living hand to mouth, that's what happens. And there are people in your state that are living hand to mouth. And you need to be able to provide immediately, because what happens if all of a sudden, and I'll give you a Bill Clinton example. Bill Clinton was basically playing, if you don't go our way, if you don't do what we want you to do, then we're going to keep this food from you in Somalia. Well, that's what a tyrant does. A state should actually have, and you should put this into a constitutional amendment, and this is why this would be a part of your constitutional convention. Get these things in so that the state does what it needs to do in all cases, just because, you know, you think that the federal government is doing it, and take that job away from the federal government. Say, we don't trust you. We do not trust you. You do not take the state's interest into consideration. They've been the lapdog for the globalists for a long time. Anyway, so we need to get into, and the incentivizing and taxing is something that they can actually start doing. Taxing is not necessarily considered a punitive law. It is one of those things that they basically say, hey, look, our revenues have gone down, so now we actually have to start taxing farmland that's not being productive. And boom, they'll do that. And so Bill Gates and all these people, oh, you know, what are you doing to me? I bought this land and I just wanted to sit here. No, that's farmland. We were counting on that. We're counting on all of our farmland to bring in revenues. And if you're not, you know, doing it, then you'll have to pay these taxes. So there you go. You can start doing and going down that path. But what you really want to do is you want to actually get your, and this is what your legislators need to talk about, is an amendment to the Constitution or to the state constitution for this. And so what we need to impress upon that, they're, you know, what they have to do. Okay, so all elections local, right? We've already talked about this. All elections must be local, and so we've kind of gone through this many times. I don't know if I need to really cover this other than the fact that nobody should be able to financially influence. So, you know, here goes the Constitution Party's, you know, concerns regarding corporations and buying things. If all of a sudden businesses can only contribute, they can only contribute to political races that are within the area of election. So if it is a state legislator, then they can only contribute those businesses that are within that legislative district. If Walmart doesn't have a business in that legislative district, they can't contribute. If Costco doesn't, if all of these big global companies, they can't even put money in a PAC. As a matter of fact, this should actually start creating a shutdown of PACs, because PACs can't operate anymore other than for statewide elections. In other words, a federal election for your senator, a federal election for the electors, and actually the electors is not a statewide election. So for the president, they can't do anything because the president is not a statewide election. Because you're actually not voting for president. You're voting for your electors, which is based on your legislative districts. And that's how you need to do this. So anyway, you want them to actually lock down to keep PACs and keep any other money from any other states. A good example is Liz Cheney is getting money that has nothing, is not coming from the state. Now, why are we wanting to do this? Well, who is Liz Cheney? She's a representative. Who does she represent? She's obviously representing those people who are paying her. And so that's not her constituents of the people who are voting for her. So this is why you make it impossible for her to use any of that money and that she has to turn it all back in. And as a matter of fact, any candidate that takes money moving forward from any source that is outside their legislative area of responsibility or area of election, such as the state of Wyoming, if she takes money from a globalist or anything like that, then she's gone. Because that would be considered a violation of ethics and a violation of the law. Therefore, this is the same thing with the senators in Wyoming. You want to get the globalist. Soros cannot spend money anymore in an American election because he is not a resident in any of these election areas. You see my point? You want to shut down all of the lucre, all of the corrupt money that is out there that is trying to influence our elections. This is the process to do it. You have to make them all local. Because we are not a democracy. We're not a global democracy. We are a representative government. We're a Republican form of government, which means that only those people that have, you know, the ability to choose their representatives should be putting their names and money and everything else in the line. If you don't live in that area, you should have no say because you're not a constituent. That is not your representative. Another thing that making all elections local would help lock that down. But one thing that they need to do, because I know a lot of people who own businesses that they, you know, they live in one county, but their business is in a different county. Well, it's not fair that they can't vote to protect their business. There are many businesses in Spokane where the people that own those businesses don't live in Spokane and vice versa in the out surrounding county, the surrounding counties. They do not live in those counties. Some of these businesses, it's businesses that those people actually live in Spokane. So when a new levy comes along to actually tax businesses or property tax, which businesses have to pay, well, they can't vote to protect the value of their property from being taxed into extinction. And if you have a lot of land or renters or what have you, you got to understand that businesses should have the right to protect property. Remember, government's responsibility is what the two major objects is to protect life and property. And so when people that don't have a stake, they're not, you know, they don't have a dog in that fight. They don't have the ability to actually, you know, they shouldn't have the ability to vote in any property tax if they don't own property. But we allow that. And that's just as asinine as anybody can think. No corporation, if you buy stock, you have a right to vote. But if you don't have any stock in that company, then you can't vote. And this should be the same thing with property. If you have stock in property, you should be able to vote. They need to actually start making it, basically realigning. And they have the ability. They know if you're a property owner or not. And they can create these codes so that when you get your ballot, when you actually, you know, sign in to at your precinct to get your ballot, they will give you a ballot as a property owner. This way you actually can vote on those. If you're not a property owner, you can't vote on that stuff. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so if you're writing these things down, that's great. I really, I appreciate that because then you're trying to get ahead of the curve. What I'm trying to do is work through this, and we want to have this rock solid before we go to Red Pill Expo. This is what we're going to be talking about to your state legislators. We want to give them the strategy of winning and actually creating a movement and actually reaching out to other counties to become a part of this movement, that we need to get more people in the state house, in the state legislative bodies, both in the Senate and the House, to actually start driving this thing, because this is how these types of bills, this is how they can actually move the state in a direction that's protecting you and doing what it's supposed to do instead of allowing you to be ravaged. This next one is basic property rights of the citizen must be protected. Okay, so I find a hard time to fathom. Just, I cannot fathom the concept that a private owner of a land or house, I should say, and somebody can come along and steal your deed and actually create mortgages, and actually you become the victim when somebody has created fraud to take your property. There is nowhere and no way in heck in anywhere in the world that a person could be, create a fraudulent title to actually walk away with that, the Mona Lisa. Why is that never happening? Why is it the business properties is not happening, that somebody can come along and take that business's property by stealing the title? And because the business would act, because they have lawyers, they don't even want to go after those people. They know that everybody's hot, what we call hoodwinking. Everybody is hoodwinking. Yeah, you know what? We can make this way, we can actually make victims out of real true victims, the citizen, and everybody wins. The fact of the matter is, there is no way the property owner, a legitimate property owner, can lose their property by fraud. And so they need to start passing laws. We need to put the business out that's, this title lock, this company that's got this title lock insurance. They shouldn't even have that. That shouldn't even be able to be created, that we should have those kinds of protections over our property, that there would be never a need for that type of market where you have to protect your title.
doggone it, that is yours. And the state, if anybody comes along and all of a sudden they've been, you know, these banks have spent this money on these, you know, these mortgages for these people, well, the banks are out. And as a matter of fact, it goes down that same path. You know, if you make the banks punish, then the banks are going to actually put in measures that they say, you know what, that's not a legitimate title. It doesn't matter if that guy, you know, somehow stole your title. He didn't do it legitimately. He violated the law. Every step of the way, he's violating, or she, they are violating the law. So this has to become a bill that actually says, you know, nobody can steal your property through fraud. You cannot lose your property. What has to happen is they have to prove that you actually were responsible for giving away or allowing somebody else to have your deed and take out those mortgages. You had to be an active participant in the process. In other words, you actually had to put your title online. How many people do you know that own a house that put their title online? I don't know anybody. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody that actually has their title in hand. I don't know anybody that ever talks about it or even knows about their title. Usually you don't get your title until when you've actually paid it off. Yeah. And so bottom line, everybody that's got a mortgage out there, I only know a few people. My parents had a title. Those people who actually owned their land had the title. And that's it. So how is it? How is it that these state legislators are sitting on their hands? Maybe the insurance company is paying them off. Well, making all elections local makes it impossible for Title Lock to actually pay or put any money in the pockets of most all state legislators, because now they can't do it. Now they actually they're dependent on supporting their constituents and the Constitution, especially if the constituents want them to be in compliance with the Constitution and understand that if they really want to keep their liberties, you know, preserved and keep bad government in check, then the only way to do that is to demand that they comply to the Constitution in every way. It is morally wrong for citizens who are disabled and or have limited income, who have retired or what have you, to lose their home based on property taxes. And as a matter of fact, there needs to be some very significant changes that when a person goes into retirement, and if you do have a limited income, I mean, it's one thing if you're Bill Gates and you have, you know, this reserves, Bill Gates should pay to his death whatever that property tax is. But if you retire and you have a limited income, that you don't have bank reserves to be able to cover the, you know, the cost of, you know, re-roofing your house or, you know, whatever repairs your house may need, nobody should ever lose their home because they don't have the means to pay government, especially elderly. It's one thing if you're 50 years old, you got a job, you can still work, especially 40, especially 30. You've got plenty of time to be able to get another mortgage and to be able to pay that off. There needs to be laws. There needs to be a part of this protecting property that the elderly and the infirm, the disabled, those people cannot lose their property because an insatiable rise in taxes by your government, because your government wants to, you know, do those things. You put these types of things in place, and then you will actually become a state where people would, you know, look at you as the most humane state and a state worth living, or I should say worthy of being a resident of. There you go. So we need state legislators to actually consider this. And business owners, again, I already covered this, so I won't go through that. One of the other things we need to do is we need to revisit patent laws. Oh, well, hold on here. The federal government has the responsibility of patent laws. So this is a federal issue, but it's a part of the Bill of Rights. So the states need to actually start pressuring the federal government in stopping some of these patent laws, because there's patent laws that go way too long. What you need to understand is the initial patent laws that were put in place a long time ago was 14 years. And that actually, as far as I'm concerned, is literally too long. because it, depending on what it is, because I do understand the pharmaceutical companies, for them to do the testing and everything else that they need to do before they can actually get a drug to market may take 20 years. So you give them 30 years. If they can get that drug more efficiently, give them 10 years once that drug goes to market. That's it. So what they do is you give them a research patent so that nobody can steal the work that they're doing. And then once they actually patent that, no more than 10 years. This concept of 20 years of copyrights and actually and trade secrets are indefinite. Currently, the total, you know, like utility patents and so forth are 20 years. Copyrights, like writers, songs, and so forth, 70 years after the death of the author and or what have you, and trade secrets can be indefinite. And that's just insane. We need to revisit patents, because what ends up happening is these people, you know, they basically create, and as a matter of fact, what we have to do is we have to recognize whether something is actually original or if it's a knockoff, an innovation of current technology. Oh, okay, so the original patent was this type of engine that did something, and then somebody came along and they made a few tweaks to the engine, and then they patented that. Well, come on. That's not original. That's just a tweak. They should not be able to patent, you know, the entire piece. They should only be able to patent maybe a part of it, and they should get a minimal patent because they're innovating off of somebody else's work. It's the same thing with software code. It's the same thing with operating systems. You're going to start finding that all of these companies that have actually created patents over applications and operating systems and so forth, it's not like they're creating a whole new language. They don't deserve a patent for a long period of time because all they're doing is they're in making minor changes and tweaks to actually take something to the next level. Well, they don't deserve these long patents or trade secrets and so forth. Microsoft should only get maybe a 2-year patent because they're going to be coming out with a new version anyway. Same thing with Linux. Same thing with Unix. We cannot allow them to, you know, have all of these protections and not allow competitive, because if we're a free market, competition is a good thing, and patents are not necessarily good, especially when somebody, you know, has these long-term grips. The only time there's ever been, and as I understand it, Alcoa actually had a monopoly, but they had a monopoly not on patents, but they had a monopoly because of pricing. Alcoa never raised their price, and they were happy with the profits that they were making in mining and processing aluminum. And all of the other metal companies out there that wanted to get into the aluminum business, they couldn't, because they couldn't afford, you know, based on their profit models, they couldn't come in and mine and process aluminum at the same price. Go look at the Alcoa monopoly breakup, and you will find that the government punished Alcoa for doing a good thing for America, the consumers, and everything else. It was never a predatory monopoly. Anyway, it's government that actually creates predatory monopolies. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we'll finish these Bill of Rights in our next episode. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.